Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Joe McCormick, and we've got a big old mailbag for you today. Rob, you cool if I jump right in on this pair of messages, starting with the one from Tabitha about mirrors and furry fish?
Go for it.
Okay, so the subject line here, mirror hallucinations and mustachioed fish. To refresh on the mirror subject, I think this is connecting to a study we talked about in our mirror series about people with otherwise typical psychological histories pretty easily experiencing hallucinations just from prolonged mirror staring, just looking at their own face in a mirror for 10 minutes or so in low light. And so Tabitha writes, "Hi, Robert and Joe, writing in with another mirror anecdote, though I'm sure you're sick of these by now. The only hallucination I've ever had was mirror-based. I was finishing up my master's thesis, very stressed and very sleep-deprived, and binge-watching Hannibal, which is a beautiful TV show, but not particularly good for mental health. One stressful day, I was washing my hands in the bathroom. I looked up, and my reflection in the mirror was a different person. It looked like me, it had my face, but I had a deep impression that there was a different intelligence looking back at me, and it was not impressed. The moment passed pretty quickly, but it shook me up. I had a fear of looking at mirrors in the dark when I was a child, so I think this episode was just something swimming up from my deep psyche to freak me out at a time of trouble. To this day, I have not finished watching Hannibal." And then on a different subject, "I enjoyed your furry fish episodes, and I wondered if you've thought about doing an episode on catfish and catfish mythology. Their improbable size, mud-lurking sneakiness, and fabulous mustaches seem ripe for some fun stories. I know of the giant earthquake-causing catfish of Japanese myth, have heard tales of the Wells catfish," I'm not sure what that is,
W-E-L-S.
Maybe Welsh, I'm not sure, "catfish eating people and pets on a regular basis across Europe, and I'm sure there's much more. Enjoying the podcast as always. You guys brighten my day on a regular basis. Regards, Tabitha." So as for that that Japanese myth, this is a cool one if you don't know it. There's a creature, I think, called Namazu or Onamazu, who is a a giant catfish who is believed to swim around in like caverns or lakes under the ground, I think. And then when there are earthquakes, it's said that this is because the fish is swimming.
Oh, that's pretty cool. As for not finishing Hannibal, I can definitely relate to that. I really liked the show. I thought it was very visual. Maybe not the kind of thing you want to binge. And at some point, maybe I'll pick it back up and finish it. But for now, I feel like my belly is full.
Yeah, I started watching it one time. I watched a couple of episodes, but I never got very far in. Maybe I'll go back to it someday. Oh, but maybe, so Tabitha actually sent us a couple of messages. Maybe I'm going to move right on to this next one that she sent in response to the Vault episode about fingernails.
All right, let's do it.
Tabitha says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. Just listened to the Vault episode Fingernails 2, and I found myself trying not to scream into my headphones that worms love hair." I think somehow this does connect to the subject matter. So she says, "I loved your analysis of the symbolic and mythological roots of hair and nail disposal. I can't help but think that all of the hair and nail connection to fertility and plant growth might stem from the fact that earthworms and other decomposers love to eat keratin. It's a great source of protein for them. It takes them a while to munch through it, but earthworms dramatically increase soil health and available nutrients for plants. So if you bury your hair and nails, you will get boosted plant growth in that area."
Interesting. Well, that makes me feel good about putting all that cat hair back in the garden, which I've never scientifically verified to see if that actually helps keep creatures out of the garden, but I'm like, I have all this cat hair. It needs to go somewhere. It might as well be the garden.
Well, this is what she says. Tabitha says, "Anecdotally, I have a worm bin, which I have kept covered with some thick, untreated wool felt mats. The worms have been happily munching through the base of the mats for the last 6 months or so, despite the coating of lanolin. I often find a worm has twined itself completely through the felt in its travels." And then finally she says, "This is the second email I've sent you in a week or so. Sorry for the spam, but I'm doing very boring work at the moment. Cheers, Tabitha."
No, keep them coming. We're always happy to hear from our listeners.
Totally.
All right, speaking of nails, here's another one. And did we say, I think the reason for this is because there was a Vault episode.
Yeah, that's right.
We reran the nails episode. That's why everyone's writing in about this. Pablo writes in and says, "Hi, Joe and Robert. My name is Pablo. I'm a listener from Spain, and I love your podcast because they are really interesting. And for me, it's a wonderful way to practice and learn English. Anyways, the other day I listened to the podcast From the Vault, Fingernails. I was really excited because nails are extremely important for me. I spend a lot of time trimming, polishing, and taking care of them, but you didn't mention why nails are so important for a lot of people like myself. I work as a music teacher and play Spanish guitar. Maybe you don't know that we, classical guitarists, play the strings with our nails, and they have to be perfectly shaped to get the nice sound. I used to have a big problem with the thickness and fragility of my nails. In fact, some amazing guitar player confessed that he had once had to cancel an important concert because he broke a fingernail, but he said that he had the flu because the real reason was a bit embarrassing. Fortunately for me, I lately learned how to build artificial nails using some gels and a UV lamp. Nowadays, the vast majority of electric guitar players exchange their fingernails for the plastic ones, or change their fingernails for the plastic one, those that we call picks. Thank you so much for your podcasts. I'm really happy listening to you. Kind regards, Pablo."
Oh, yeah, Pablo. So I play guitar, though. I've never played classical guitar or Spanish guitar, but I had a friend in high school who played classical guitar, and he had like a long, well cared for thumbnail for picking those strings. I gotta say, I've never played those guitars, but I play, you know, electric and acoustic guitar, and I often don't use a pick. I often just use my fingernails, but not by plucking with long fingernails. I keep them pretty short. I just sort of like hit with the back of my fingernail as if the tip of my finger was a pick.
Oh, I thought you can see, like, really dig in there. Just really dig in with a short nail.
No.
Takes more finesse.
Though I use a pick sometimes, too.
Yeah.
I'll go cyborg.
Yeah, I'm not really a guitar person, don't know much about them. So I didn't really think about that. And I had not really thought about the fact that a guitar pick is this kind of replacement for the fingernail, a stand-in for the fingernail. But that's fascinating.
There are different variations too. Usually if you're playing electric or acoustic guitar, people tend to use just a single flat pick that you hold between your thumb and your index finger. But like people playing the banjo often have a thumb pick that's like a ring that sticks on the end of their thumb that they use for strumming or plucking the lower strings on the banjo.
Oh, okay.
What I have never seen but would like to is somebody who does a finger-picking guitar style, but they do it with, like, full hand, all five fingers, finger armor. You know those things? Like, yeah. Full finger ring with, like, often have kind of a claw tip or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems like somebody would have done that, right?
It's got to be a metal band where somebody does that.
Some sort of crazy jewelry right there seems right up the rock star guitarist alley.
Okay, this next message comes to us from Matt. Matt says, also about fingernails. Matt says, "Hello, Robert and Joe. You mentioned in your fingernails episode that many young people with a habit of nail biting do grow out of it. I was one such person. From as young as I can remember, I had always bitten my nails, and never, not once, did I ever have to cut them. I did not choose to bite them, I just couldn't help it. My mom bought me bad-tasting clear coating to deter me, but it didn't help. But one day, in my mid-20s, I noticed that my nails were long, and I had to cut them. 20 years later, I have not bitten them again. I would like to hear from other listeners who have also outgrown this habit. I'm very curious if it ended suddenly, like mine did, or if it might end in other ways. Love the show. Thanks for all you do. Matt." I thought this was interesting because it makes me think of the broader phenomenon of just like when there is a major change in our habits or patterns of mind, and we have no idea why. It just seems to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, just sort of changes, and sometimes it's hard to put a finger on exactly what happened.
I think the closest thing that I have to this in my own case is I've been through periods of my life where I have like sort of heightened generalized anxiety that is present, and then other periods where I don't. No identifiable reason that I can figure out, like what causes a transition from one to the other. Can't in any way lock it into events going on in my life. It's just like, you know, this is what my brain's doing at one point, and then one day it just stops.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I feel much the same. I feel like I've spent some time trying to chart those periods in my life with things going on in my life, and the topographies don't necessarily match up. So it's weird. How that plays out. But indeed, if there's anyone out there who has some feedback on nail biting, like how it stopped, when it stopped, go ahead and write in and let us know. We'll share it with Matt and the rest of the listeners. We got to do these shows once a week, folks. So yeah, I'm happy to have these continuing conversations. All right, our next bit of listener mail comes to us from Nick. And this is in response to our episodes on the furry fish. "Hello, Robert and Joe. Longtime listener, first time, et cetera, et cetera. All I could think about while listening to the Fish Have Fur episode was Jonathan Colton's song Furry Old Lobsters. Originally written to help promote John Hodgman's book Areas of My Expertise, the singer at first seems to be lamenting the loss of an old species of haired lobster. Only later in the song do we realize he is confusing the lobster with a completely different animal. If you haven't heard the song, you should definitely check it out. Nick."
I don't know anything about this.
Oh, no. This was the audiobook for Areas of My Expertise by John Hodgman, which I definitely listened to this and enjoyed it quite a bit back in the day. And I actually saw Jonathan Colton in concert shortly thereafter. He played at a small venue here in our area. And he's quite good. I feel like he's quite a talented musician. And, you know, he has some of these songs that maybe, you know, some people might think, oh, well, it's just kind of like gimmicky songs, little comedy songs. But I feel like he's a really solid singer-songwriter. So definitely worth checking out. And as for Hodgman, you know, obviously a talented and funny guy, but I still can't believe all those people he mutilated on the Nick. Ooh, rough stuff.
Wait, who does he play on the Nick? Is he a historical figure or just a...
I can't remember just the character's name.
Surgeon.
He plays a character whose answer, I think I'm pretty sure it's based on a historic person, if memory serves. But he plays a quack doctor of the time who believes that the answer to any kind of mental issue is the removal of all teeth. And he's removed multiple people's entire set of teeth to improve their demeanor and their mental life, including the teeth of his children. It's the best, in my opinion, it's the best acting role that I've seen John Hodgman in, because he's awful. He's awful in it. You're like, oh my God, this guy is completely nuts.
One of these days, I'm going to have to watch that show.
It's good. It's not necessarily for the faint of heart, but it's good. And I think it's all on HBO. What is it? HBO Max these days? Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I think it's all been moved over to there, because that was one of the problems when it came out. Terrific show, but how many people were actually subscribing to Cinemax at the time in order to watch a historic medical drama? I don't think many people were. So a lot of people missed it, but now it's all out there, and it's easy to dive into it if you can get past some rough stuff right at the top of the first episode.
Mm.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love,
you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, this next message is about our episode on gears in biology. So in this episode about gears in the biological world, we talked about the scarcity of examples of gears in animal bodies, but several listeners wrote in after this episode to point out that actually if you zoom in far enough, not looking at macroscopic body structures, but if you zoom in all the way down to the molecular level, there are in fact tons of gears in biology. And so an example of this type of message comes from Cody. Cody says, "Hi, Joe and Robert. In your gears episode, you mentioned that you couldn't find another biological example of toothed gears, but you've overlooked how ATP is synthesized in mitochondria. As a side note, ATP is adenosine triphosphate. It is the sort of main energy source that powers the life of cells in the bodies of, I think, basically all organisms." Cody goes on. "This process involves the use of a sort of Brownian ratchet mechanism that exploits the charge differential on either side of the mitochondrial membrane. There are more protons on one side of the membrane than the other because of a deliberate disequilibrium that the mitochondria produces for this purpose, and this causes the protons to want to flow through the membrane to establish charge balance. The membrane is periodically perforated with microtubules that have embedded in them a bona fide mechanical ratchet." See pictures below. Rob, you can look at the pictures that Cody attached.
Yep, absolutely bona fide.
I would say this is bona fide, yes. Cody says, "And the motion of the protons turns the ratchet, which is connected via a cam to the ATP synthase molecule, thus extracting energy from the voltage across the membrane via mechanical gear action to produce a highly energetic compound, ATP. This process even leverages mechanical advantage, as the ratchet through which the protons flow has several teeth, but the connected ratchet in the synthase molecule has only three teeth. Incidentally, many antibiotics target this system either by gumming up the gears, preventing protons from flowing through them, or permanently uncoupling the cam connecting the two ratchets. Since all of life on Earth relies on ATP to do literally anything, you could say at a very basic level, we're all made of gears." Very cool contribution, Cody, and others who wrote in on this subject. So, yeah, thank you. And folks at home, look up this gear.
Yeah, I find this area super fascinating, but also very challenging to understand at times. I've attended a couple of talks at the World Science Festival about the idea of constructing nanobots out of this sort of thing, and yeah, it always blows my mind. But I'm also kind of struggling to understand like that smaller realm, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, with a lot of molecular biology, like I don't understand enough well enough to really make judgments about it on my own. I just got to take your word for it. Mm-hmm.
All right. We heard from Jim in response to a recent artifact, or as it is for the months of September and October, the Monstrofact. Jim writes in and says, "When I saw the title Satanic Rites of Drugula come up in the feed, I assumed the song was about an actual event or person, like Slayer's Angel of Death or Celtic Frost's Into the Crypts of Rays, but you were talking about the actual song. Electric Wizard is one of my favorite bands and one of the few whose music I can actually, they can actually put me into another state, transporting me or whatever. I hope you saw them at the Tabernacle just before COVID hit. It was a great show and they played that song, which is actually one of my favorites, although they have a ton of great songs. I still can't believe you brought up Electric Wizard. You guys do have a very eclectic and varied podcast. Keep up the great work, Jim. Well, Joe is the OG Electric Wizard fan here. I was a latecomer to Electric Wizard, but have been listening to them a lot recently.
You've had Wizard on the brain, I can tell. I have. The past month or so, it seems.
Were you at this show? You've actually seen them live.
Oh, yeah. Rachel and I went, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was heavy. No, it was really good, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one day I'll get to see them after everything's a little saner out there. But
one thing that was really funny was, so of course it's a very debauched heavy metal show. But I remember sitting near us in the balcony, there was maybe a 12-year-old kid there, clearly with his dad. I think he really wanted to go to the show. And so his dad took him to Electric Wizard.
The young wizards. All right.
Yeah. I thought it was sweet.
Yeah, my son's not really at the point where he's much into any of the music that I play, but occasionally he'll say something. I think I was playing some Vangelis or Tangerine Dream, and he was like, hey, that's a nice song. And I was like, yeah, excellent.
All right. Yeah. That's right, son. It is.
All right, let's do a little Weird House Cinema listener mail. This one comes to us from Frederick. Dear Master Podcasters, Robert and Joe, thank you for your excellent work exploring the depths of the human experience. I'm sorry, it's only making me laugh because I know this is mostly regarding Weird House Cinema. Yeah. I enjoy every minute of it. I've considered writing a few times, for example, regarding queuing phenomenon in Swedish versus German subways. Oh, I'd love to hear about that. Totally. But I felt you might have had enough waiting-related correspondence already.
No. Send it on.
Yeah. Anyway, Frederick continues. I'm writing now, listening to the Weird House Cinema episode called Devil's Express, and it inspired me to write this email. It's not much of a question or a remark, rather a challenge. Here's the background story. I must have been somewhere between 5 and 7 years old, and my parents had some guests over. I was minding my own business as I heard the adults call, directed at me, "Don't look at the TV!"
Smart.
As apparently something scary was shown. I was nowhere near the TV at the moment, so what does a child do in that situation? I obviously ran straight into the living room where the TV was on to see what not to look at. I remember seeing a scene out of what must have been a horror film. There was a woman sneaking around in an abandoned subway car. She sees someone and walks up to him. Scary soundtrack intensifies. The person turns around, and it's a skeleton. The vision of the scary skull with the empty eye sockets must have burnt itself into my innocent subconscious, as the scene did not only frighten me senseless back then, but it has popped up every now and then as a memory. Lastly, as you were talking about a demon in the subway in the aforementioned podcast.
Oh, wow.
I suspect that if I see it again, I can laugh at the silliness of it all and send myself some comfort. Send some comfort back through time to the child version of myself. But what was the movie? 80s era horror movie with a woman sneaking around in an abandoned subway car frightened by a skeleton monster. If anyone on this earth would have an idea, I believe you guys are the ones to talk to, or indeed your audience. I can think of none other better educated on the topic. Wishing you a wonderful weekend ahead. Bess, Frederick.
This is really funny because the dynamic you're describing reminds me of an experience that I had where there was a time when I was a child and I was flipping TV channels and I came across some horrible movie on TV and it had this scene of somebody like getting shot in the knees that really just shook me. And like years later, I'd still think of it and feel a chill. And then, but I never knew what the movie was until I started like going on the internet and trying to like go to those forums where you can like describe a movie scene you remember and people will try to help you figure out what movie it was. I finally figured it out and it was the dumbest looking Michael Dudikoff action movie. and so, I got to have that experience of looking back on the thing that terrified me and realizing it is actually hilarious tripe.
Yeah. Well, I was fascinated by this question from Frederick, in part because I love subway movies. And if there's a subway scene in a movie, I'm instantly a little more into it, even if the film is not that good. And if, you know, throw a skeleton man into the mix, and I'm definitely there. But I was racking my my brain here trying to think what it could be. And I was thinking of Terror Train as one possibility. That's the Jamie Lee Curtis. And that one does feature a number of masks, but I don't think there's a skeleton mask in the mix. There's also Horror Express, which is that Spanish co-production that we've discussed recently on Weird House that has Telly Savalas, Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing in it. And that does have kind of a skeletal-looking creature in it, though I don't know if there's a scene. I haven't seen it recently. I don't know if there's a scene that completely matches up with this. So you might look to those two films. I'm not sure. Of course, with any kind of childhood memory situation, it's possible that, you know, you have sort of things combined and recombined. Every time we pull a memory out of the closet, we manipulate it a little bit. So the memories that stick with us the longest like this are actually the ones that we can trust the least. So it's entirely possible that monster has no true predecessor in the cinematic world. Perhaps he is your monster, and therefore we can do nothing to expel it.
Sweet dreams, Frederick.
But I'm going to keep a lookout. I'm going to keep a lookout because few things are certain in life, except that I'll probably keep watching terrible movies with subway scenes in them. And if I see this creature, I will let you know.
Okay, we got to round things out with one last message. This comes from Brian. Subject line, Bombadil. The entire message reads, Ian Anderson, why not? So Ian Anderson, the singer and composer of the what genre would you call them, prog rock band Jethro Tull?
Yeah, I think that's where they're generally classified. I'm actually not very well versed in Jethro Tull. I have to admit, I had to look up to see who Ian Anderson was because I'm just not familiar with him or his work.
Oh, but, you know, like Locomotive Breath, you know, you've heard that one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some Jethro Tull songs. I mean, it's you know, they're unavoidable, but I don't have a good, you know, I haven't done a deep dive on them, and I never listened to them growing up, so I just don't have a good feel for him or his work. But I looked, you know, looking up a picture of him, I'm like, yeah, I could see this man as Tom Bombadil.
I don't know. I want to be open-minded about this, and obviously we know Ian Anderson can sing. I'm sure he could belt out those Rob Inglis songs. He probably has already done it. I bet Jethro Tull has like recorded Bombadil songs on albums before, because I think they're those kinds of weirdos. but I don't know. I don't know if he seems round enough to be like. I feel like Tom Bombadil's got to be got to have a rounder, more cherubic energy.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. All right, well, we'll leave everyone else to weigh in on this. If not Jethro Tull, then who? The quest for a Bombadil continues. There are a lot of great possibilities out there. In the meantime, if you would like to check out other episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener mail, well, it comes out every Monday in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed. We've got core science episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have an artifact, or for a couple of months, the Monstrafact, publishing on Wednesdays, Weird House Cinema on Fridays, and a Vault episode over the weekend.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.